Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Ben Lee, intern Parker, the big guy, is coming back from a bachelor party down in Atlanta. So for the next 3 hours, me and Ben Lee will talk sports and other things. Well, it is a... First, you could probably hear my voice is not in the best shape. Not in the best shape. Long weekend at the SEC tournament. A lot of screaming for different reasons. On Saturday, the highest of the highs, and on Sunday, the lowest of the lows. As I was taking a shower this morning, washing the disappointment off of me, I stopped and I realized that this was Saturday and Sunday against Kentucky and Auburn was the equivalent of 2016 Georgia, Texas A&M. Now, granted, the Texas A&M game at least gave you some exciting moments, but that same heartbreak, you felt the same opportunities you felt like you wasted. That's how drastic the turnaround was, because Saturday night, of course, you storm back. You beat Kentucky. You come back from 8 points down in 3 minutes. You make every clutch play you have to make to win that game. You were really proud. You were really excited. You were really happy. Broadway, all of Nashville was overran by orange and sad Big Blue fans. They were Big Blue as in Big Sad. And Saturday was great. Saturday, you came out feeling like you were about to win a championship, like you were about to get a one seed, like you were going to make a run to the Final Four, maybe win a national championship. You had seen what your team looked like when they were tested and their backs were against the wall and something substantial was actually on the line. They responded. They made play after play. Grant Williams was the best player on the court. Admiral knocking down clutch threes. Lamonte Turner, it didn't matter that he was 1 of 19 on his last 19 three-pointers in the month of March. No, none of that mattered because he hit number 20. He shot it with a ton of confidence, and life was good. And then you celebrated all night, and then you turned around, and on Sunday, I mean, you were out to an early lead. The crowd was 85% orange. The fans showed up. The team seems like they partied harder than the fans did on Saturday night, because they came out, and like I said, they jumped out to a lead, so I can't say they came out flat, because they came out and played well for the first 7 minutes or so. The first 6 minutes they played really well. Auburn grabbed a lead right before the second TV timeout. I believe they were up 1 point. And then they came out and hit back-to-back threes out of that TV timeout. And, you know, Tennessee, that was as close as they got the rest of the game. They didn't get closer than 7 the rest of the time. Really disappointing. For as great as Admiral was in the first half against Kentucky, his second half outside of that clutch three-pointer was not very good. He followed that up with a, you know, championship performance, 1 of 8. 1 of 8 from the field. 4 points. Grant Williams ended up scoring 13, but it felt like a pretty hollow 13. It felt like a 13 that came after you were already down by 20 points and you were somewhat trying to muster a comeback. Lamonte Turner came out and he was like, hey, I'm back. I feel good. I got my swagger back. He came out and hit his first couple threes. He ended up scoring 24 points. And for some reason, he was doing more of the facilitating on offense, which felt weird. I like Malamonte better when he's just kind of a spot-up shooter or, you know, kick it out to him and he beats his guy off the dribble. That's kind of the Lamonte I prefer. And we had more of the ball-handling Lamonte, which led to 4 turnovers. And only 2 assists. Like, as a team, that was the stat, at least on their side, 17 turnovers. That is not good, obviously. 17 turnovers, 7 from your guards. When I say your guards, I mean your starting guards, Jordan Bone and Lamonte Turner. Uncharacteristic of Bone, which kind of backs up what it looked like, you know, with Lamonte kind of leading the show. Jordan Bone, 3 turnovers, only 2 assists. Like, he wasn't doing his usual Jordan Bone things. It was an odd game, and Auburn is just one of those teams that Tennessee is going to struggle with. And then maybe that's the biggest takeaway from this game is, A, I feel like Auburn really benefited from their draw in the SEC tournament. Their path, a lot easier. Missouri, South Carolina, Florida to get to the championship. You'll take that. Where Tennessee played a really good Mississippi State team and then, of course, had a heavyweight fight against Kentucky. I said it last week on the show that it had the potential to feel like Team USA and Russia and Finland, and you're going to feel like you conquered the world, like you slayed the beast whenever you beat Kentucky on Saturday, but you're going to have to turn around and win a game on Sunday. Said it had the potential to be that letdown, and it kind of was. Got absolutely blown out and dominated. 84-64 as Tennessee, the SEC championship drought continues. Where are we at? 40 years now? Going to be 41 years? Ay, ay, ay. Something that surprised me, actually, I think Brandon Johns was the first person I saw kind of point that out. I didn't realize that Rick Barnes has not won a conference tournament championship since 1994. That's a hell of a stat. The 1994 Big East Championship. That's a little alarming. And, of course, now the attention's going to turn, now that the NCAA tournament's here, you know, on Rick Barnes's recent tournament slides, like, can they regroup? Can they come out and still make a run? And I don't know where people are putting the minimum requirement on this season.
I've already seen Tennessee come in and say if we don't make a Final Four after losing both the regular season and tournament championships, it's kind of a failure.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get any hardware, right? Like, you don't get anything for the Elite Eight. You could add a number to your banner, but you don't get anything actual tangible out of it. And, you know, we've called this team the best team in history for a while, of school history, of course. Mm-hmm. For them not to come away with any hardware, that would feel disappointing. I mean, they'd have the individual accolades, at least with Grant Williams and Admiral being a first-team All-SEC. Like, they'll have that, but as far as team accomplishments go, finished 3rd in the conference and got blown out in the SEC championship. That would be tough to swallow if this team doesn't find a way to the Final Four. Because if they make the Final Four, all is forgiven. That will trump that will trump the disappointments earlier so far. But now Tennessee is faced with trying to kind of bring some hardware home somewhere, cut down some type of nets, celebrate. And we got their draw yesterday. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about this Auburn and Kentucky game because it's a lot to unpack. We'll take your phone calls. I'm more obliged to do that when the big guy's not here. 865-546-8200. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I do feel like I laid out the right scenario on how these three ACC teams are going to be one seeds. I feel like the scenario I laid out is pretty much what happened. Duke wins a super close game against North Carolina. Came down to the final possession. Duke goes on to win the ACC championship. They get the number one overall one seed, right? They came away as the number one overall. And then I said whoever wins between Kentucky and Tennessee has to lose to whoever they play in the SEC championship. And they did. And apparently it was that simple, as three ACC teams grab one seed. Gonzaga gets the one in the West, which is still a little surprising given their resume, but whatever. Tennessee gets slotted in the South. So logistically, you're okay with that. That's better than having to go to Anaheim, California, or Kansas City. Louisville's, what, a three-hour drive up the road? That's okay. I know some people are upset with the potential to play Cincinnati in the state of Ohio in the second round. Called it a home game. Cincinnati to Columbus is still it's a little bit of a trek. I mean, it's the same as Tennessee heading to Nashville. It's 2.5-3 hours to Columbus, something like that, 2 hours. Still a little trek. And I don't know if Cincinnati basketball, or let me rephrase that, Cincinnati basketball does not have the same type of enthusiasm that Tennessee does. So I'm not anticipating like a Cincinnati takeover if the two were to match up in the second round. I worked in an office in Cincinnati out of college. And, you know, 30, 40 guys in there on my floor, on my team. And they all liked college basketball. And it was pretty evenly dispersed right there in Cincinnati on whose everyone's team was. There was actually a couple Tennessee fans in there with me. In Cincinnati, there were Xavier fans, Kentucky fans, and Ohio State fans. So just like in the city of Cincinnati, like it was pretty split. I don't think they have just some big group of super fans who are going to make that a road game for Tennessee if they were to match up on Sunday. Although I will say that if Tennessee is either if they're the early or the late game, if they're in that same place, I guess, with Carolina fans, maybe Big Blue. Well, they're not Big Blue. Are they Baby Blue? What do they call themselves? What is their nation? Tar Heel Nation?
Yeah.
If they are in there, they might turn against Tennessee, and then you might feel like a road game. That might be a problem. Because I'd imagine North Carolina fans will go in there and root for the upset. So, like, that would be a situation. Then at that point, it might feel like you are, you know, 70-30 against you. That would create that atmosphere. If that were to happen. I do come out of this weekend feeling like Tennessee can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country. Like, I do think Tennessee, if they end up playing Virginia in the Elite Eight, I feel confident that Tennessee can give Virginia a hell of a game. I don't know if they're going to win. All year long, I've said Virginia's making the Final Four and that they're going to have the Tom Rinaldi special, and that they are going to they're one of the teams I didn't want to face. So I don't know if Tennessee is going to get by them. I do think if they were to match up in the Elite Eight, that I would take Tennessee's chances to keep it close and play. Like, I don't think Virginia comes in and dog walks Tennessee. I think Tennessee will go toe-to-toe with them. They'll answer the bell. The problem is when Tennessee plays that Tier 2 or Tier 3 team that maybe, I don't want to say they're overlooking, but that maybe they don't rise to the same challenge. Because so far, Tennessee's played some really good teams. Kansas at full strength, Gonzaga, Kentucky, of course. And, you know, every time but one, they were up to the challenge. Every time but one, they came out and played right down to the wire and went toe-to-toe with the heavyweights of the country. So I don't think Tennessee should be scared of Virginia. Maybe Tennessee shouldn't really be afraid till they get to the Elite Eight. Like, it seems like Tennessee's draw, I think, not bad. I think Tennessee's draw is pretty good to get to the Elite Eight. Now, again, we opened the show by saying the minimum requirement in this tournament has gone up, right? We feel like now you have to go out and make a Final Four to salvage this season. So we'll see. And if it is Tennessee versus Virginia, that will be a classic game. Virginia's had some trouble getting to where they're supposed to get in the tournament. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you do kind of maybe not pencil Virginia in if you believe in past performances. But I did come out of this SEC tournament a little worried from what I've seen the last week and a half, right? The last 8 days. Tennessee versus a team like Auburn creates matchup problems. Like, Auburn wanted to sit outside and shoot threes. They shot 20 per half. They shot 40 threes yesterday. They shot 64 times from the field and shot 40 threes. And you know they like to pull it if they're shooting 20 threes in the second half when they had a 20-point lead for almost half of the second half. They were still out there pulling threes. And I came away worried about, you know, that matchup. Like, to me, the biggest thing coming out of this weekend is that I am worried that Tennessee is a man short. If a team's going to go small and jack up threes or just spread you out, like, Tennessee is going to have a hard time keeping up. I am worried about that. Florida did it. Tennessee had trouble with Florida in Gainesville. Now, in Knoxville, it was a different story. But in Gainesville, like, if you remember, Florida had the lead with a minute left. And then Tennessee went on a huge run to finish that game winning by double figures. But Auburn, the last two times you've played them, really the last three times you played them, if you go back to last year, they've taken your lunch. They have punked you. You went toe-to-toe with them on the road, but in Knoxville last year and in Nashville yesterday, Auburn was tougher, and they spread you out, and they just beat your head in with the three-pointers. And you didn't have a lineup that could stay on the court with them. If you ran out your lineup that you feel good with Grant, Admiral, Lamonte, Bone, and Bowden, you couldn't get a rebound. Auburn grabbed 13 offensive rebounds. Okiki, he looked like the SEC Player of the Year yesterday. If I'm Grant Williams, I'm ashamed of what Okiki did to me. I think I'm saying his name right. Okiki? I don't know what the hell his name is.
I think that's right. Okiki.
He's number 5. You know who I'm talking about if you watch the game. He had 18 points and 13 rebounds.
I was listening to the game, and that's how they said it the whole time.
Okay. And at one point, when Tennessee looked like they might make a run, I believe they got down to 14, and the place was going wild, Okiki sized up Grant, dribbled two times, and drilled a three from the top of the key. If I'm Grant Williams, I'm ashamed at what I let that guy do to me. He looked like the SEC Player of the Year yesterday. 18 points, 13 rebounds, 6 offensive boards. He had more offensive rebounds by himself than Tennessee had as a team. That's problematic, if you ask me. I know the total rebound numbers didn't look too skewed. 33 for Tennessee, 39 for Auburn. But when you take into account that they are not running out there with a bunch of big centers, they're not really out there playing in the post. They're spreading you out, just jacking up threes and threes. Like, you are getting punked on the boards. They wanted every loose ball more, and they looked like a classic Bruce Pearl coach team where they were just more gritty than you. And it sucked to see, but that's what they looked like. Now, they've evolved a little bit because, like I said, they shot 43s. That's absurd. But they just shot three after three after three and just grabbed offensive rebound on the misses. They got to every loose ball they needed. Even as Tennessee was the desperate team, down 15, 17, 19 points, trying to come back, Auburn was the one that went out and punked you and said, we want it more. Even when you're down 15 points, when they had every excuse to kind of let up a little bit and let you back in the game, they didn't. And to me, that's alarming because I don't know what lineup Tennessee can run out there that's going to match up with teams like that. And maybe Auburn is just kind of an anomaly. Maybe not many other teams in this tournament are going to line up and just try to shoot three after three after three. So maybe you don't have to worry about them again. But yesterday, as I was watching in Nashville, I thought, man, this team is a player short. We need someone else on the wing. Fulkerson came in for 12 minutes and got blown off the court. He can't match up against there. It's not his fault. He just can't go out there and guard the three. He's not athletic enough. When he was trying to close down the three, they just blew right by him for a layup. And if he's your center, you have no rim protection. Like, Grant Williams is great at verticality. And what I mean by that is, you know, hands straight up in the air, jumping straight up. Grant Williams is great at it, and he's a brick wall. So when you run into him, sometimes you bounce off of him and you miss the shot. But a lot of the times, Auburn was finishing at the rim. And I don't really want that to be my last line of defense as Grant Williams trying to hope the refs call verticality the right way. That seems like a recipe for foul trouble in the tournament. Tennessee feels like one guy short on the rotation from making serious noise in this tournament. I hoped that it could be Pons or Johnson. Like, I hoped that one of those two guys could morph into that this season. It has been a decline for Pons since the start of the year. He has gotten worse over the year. Jalen Johnson just has never really made an impact or gotten a chance. Like, and when he is out there, it's not for defense. So he doesn't really solve your problem. That's alarming to me. That's really a recipe for getting upset if you run into the wrong type of program. Like, usually these mid-majors are the type of teams that spread you out and just shoot threes. Luckily, I don't think Tennessee is going to have to play one of them. I know Colgate has a good three-point percentage, but I don't think that they are one who lines up and shoots a bunch of threes. I think they're just kind of out there.
They average like 7.5 less than Auburn a game. They like around they're around 300 less in total of the season.
Okay.
Like, Auburn shot around 1,080 or so, and they're like 780.
Now, again, I mean, that is a I don't know how to compare that. Like, that's a good stat. Good job by you, Ben Lee. I don't know when you say it's 7 less than Auburn, like, what does that mean about regular teams? Because Auburn's an outlier. Like, they're shooting.
Auburn averages around 31 a game.
Right.
So, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I was just kind of thinking, like, Colgate's not, doesn't seem like that team that's going to just come in and shoot you out of the gym, like the UMBC last year to Virginia and stuff like that. Like, they've got a good point guard, that Jordan Byrne guy, Jordan Burns, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, like, they're just like a normal average mid-major team.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, and Rapolos Avanaskas. Rapolos Avanaskas is, you know, their best player. He averages 16 points, 8 rebounds a game. He shoots 43% from three. But he shot 99 threes on the year. Quick math says you play 30 games, 3.2 attempts per game. You can live with him shooting 43% on 3 or 4 attempts. That's like 2 for 4.
Yeah.
And that's 50%. Like, that's better than his average. Like, you can live on that. You can live on him going 2 for 5. Like, that's okay. It doesn't seem like anyone's really, like, Will Raymond is a sharpshooter, I guess. He's also one of the guys above 40%. He's at 43%. He shoots 148 this year. So that's 50 more. That's what? 150, that's almost 5 a game. So he is kind of going 2 for 5.
Feel good about that too.
I'd rather them both not go out there and go two for four, two for five. But, like, I mean, I think you can sustain that if you're Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think you can sustain that. And then they have another guy. I mean, 41%. He shoots almost 130 a game. So, like, they got a whole bunch of guys who can go 2 for 5, which, you know.
So let's just make sure one of them goes 2 for 5.
Yeah, like, let's try to limit that, but, you know, like, that's.
But it's not Auburn where you have 3 or 4 guys that can just come in and bang you out every single time.
Right, right. If they shot, get a calculator out. 786 three-point attempts this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say they played 31 games. They played 34 games, actually. They played 34 games.
786 divided by 34.
Yeah.
23.1 shots a game.
Yeah, and they shoot 38% as a team. Like, I think you can live with that. What's 38% of?
Eight shots.
So they hit eight threes
makes.
A game?
Yeah.
That's a team Tennessee can live with.
8.7, closer to 9.
Okay. But, I mean, just for comparison's sake, last night, Tennessee hit 8 threes last night and got beat by 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, Auburn banged 15 out on you. But still, like, Tennessee had, you know, the about the amount of makes that Colgate averages on the year against lesser competition. You can live with what Tennessee did from 3 to you. Like, you could survive that. You could sustain it. Tennessee hit 8 threes and still only scored 64 points. Now, granted, they had 17 turnovers with it, but I don't feel like Colgate is that team you really worry about. Tennessee opens as 18.5-point favorites. Like, I see the three-point percentage, but it's not like they're bombing 38% on 35 attempts per game. I'm okay with that. And Cincinnati, you know, traditionally, is Mick Cronin, is he's going to play defense and try to grind you out. That'd be your second-round matchup if they get by Iowa. Colgate's played, like, I think 3 top 100 or anywhere near top 100 teams, and they've gotten blown out by all of them. So, like, they're not a – I don't view them as a real threat. I don't think they are, matchup-wise, what you have to worry about. So I do think Tennessee benefits from being in a 2-seed here and not, like, a 4. The way Tennessee plays defense would be ripe for the pickings by going up against, like, a 13-seed. You'd probably be right for the pickings there. But here, I like Tennessee's draw okay. But, man, that was really humbling to watch Auburn just spread you out and make you look like you were not a very good basketball team, because I think that Tennessee is a very good basketball team. But Auburn made them look not good. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Am I not being hard enough on this team? Are people being too hard? Let me know what you think. 865-546-8200 is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Today at 12:30, Travis McKinney from the McKinney team is supposed to come in. Sit down, do some buy or sell with us. He'll be out at Elkmont Exchange with us on, I believe, Friday. He's going to come for the Tennessee game and do some type of giveaway, but he'll be in there. And if you are looking to buy or sell a home this spring as the weather warms up, use the guys I used, Travis and Emily McKinney with Keller Williams. ZillowKnoxville.com if you want to view their listings or become more familiar with them, or give them a call at 865-548-8267. That's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Ran some of those same numbers on, you know, what the exercise we do with Colgate when we're trying to figure out, you know, yeah, they got good shooting percentages, but are they going to try to kill you with threes? And the answer to Colgate was no, not really. They're going to try to basically hit 8 a game. Ran that same thing with Iowa and Cincinnati, and I haven't watched much Cincinnati this year. I know they beat Houston, which was a big win for them. I know they beat Houston. But it's not like Cincinnati is just all of a sudden playing different type of basketball. They're that same type of team that they've always been. Grind you out, twos, layups, defense. On the season, Cincinnati, if Tennessee is to match up with them, Cincinnati shoots, on average, 18.5 threes per game. They hit 6 of them. 6.4. That's not a matchup that I look like that I look at with Tennessee and say, man, this is trouble. I'm okay with that. Now, it'd be a dogfight. I do think Cincinnati would come out and try to beat Tennessee up and be tougher, but I do think that I'd be okay with Tennessee's chances there. Iowa is a little bit better at shooting threes, but they're another team that's not going to try to shoot you out of the gym. They shoot 22 threes per game and make almost eight of them. They shoot 22 and make eight. Another team that I think you could really get behind the matchup. So that's Tennessee's path to the Sweet 16. You're not playing a team like Auburn that lives and dies by it. It was a wild feeling being, because, I mean, surrounding me at the SEC tournament was a whole bunch of Auburn fans. Like, I know there weren't many in the arena, but there were a lot in my section. And all I kept thinking was, man, especially in the first half when they were going 5 of 20 from 3 and they were passing out open layups to try to get three-pointers in transition, and they were missing. I was like, man, this would not be fun to root for a team like this. This would be really frustrating. I mean, in the second half, they started hitting them, and they opened up the second half, hitting 9 of 15 threes, and you saw why they maybe do that. But it was a wild experience to be in there and just not be the team trying hardest. Not being the team making winning plays. It's happened a couple times this year, and those are the games I feel like Tennessee has lost or at least gotten beat up in, right? If you look at the Tennessee's two worst performances, we said the same thing about Kentucky, right? Whenever Tennessee went to Lexington, we pointed to that and said, one of the biggest reasons this game went the way it was is because you didn't feel like Tennessee wanted it as much. And I remember saying, yeah, it's cliche, and I feel dumb for saying it, but that's the truth. Watch that game film. Kentucky got every loose ball. Kentucky was the aggressor. Kentucky beat you up on the boards. Every ball that was there that they wanted, they went and got. Same thing happened on Sunday to Auburn. It seemed like every loose ball Auburn wanted, they got. It really becomes really frustrating when you look and say it's because a team wanted it more. If it's a regular season game on the road, when a team's coming off of a loss like Kentucky was when we went to Lexington, that's one thing. You look around and you say, that's okay. Tennessee still got, what, 6 more games? They'll get Kentucky again at home. Everything's okay. And for the most part, it was. Tennessee, of course, beat down Kentucky in Knoxville. Tennessee still had a chance to go and grab a one seed. Everything had the potential to be okay. That's one thing. It's a completely different thing whenever it's in the SEC championship. A team shouldn't want it more than you do when a championship is on the line. That's not something that we should be sitting here talking about on Monday following the SEC championship. Well, Auburn wanted it more. That's problematic. And you can't sit there and say, well, there's still a lot of season left. You'll be okay. You got time to get this right. Because now, if it happens again, the season's over. You might only have one game left in your entire season. And if you let it happen again, season's over. Goodbye, Admiral. Goodbye, Kyle Alexander. Good luck in your future endeavors. Maybe a Grant Williams, maybe a Jordan Bone. See you later. I don't know if they will look and test the NBA waters. This could all come to an end with one more bad performance. And because of Sunday's bad performance, you have no hardware to show for it. That should freak you out because it does me. And that was the one thing that was so – I wasn't sad at the time. I was really just angry. Now, granted, if you were someone who made the trek to Nashville yesterday and you made the same trek back to Knoxville that I did, you probably got a little bit more angry as you were stuck in traffic on I-40 East. Because that ride took a long time. That ride took forever. It was awful. It took, 4 hours to get home at least? You got caught in it, Parker? 4 and a half? It was a pretty bad ride. Especially, you know, after you got your ass kicked, you sat there just kind of stewing in it. I was okay, you know, left the arena, walked back. Beautiful day. We left with 4 minutes left. We did not stick around for the championship celebration.
No, you left about the same time I turned it off. I just said, yeah, you know, I don't want to listen to this anymore.
Last media timeout, I was like, nope, I'm good. I'm out of here. I'm good. So I left before the Auburn fans got out on the streets because, you know, they wanted to stay and celebrate their championship. So the ride the walk back to the Uber didn't bother me. Beautiful day, just strolling with my friend. No real Auburn fans there talking trash. I was in a fine mood. Once I got caught in that damn traffic, I was like, ah, man, why'd I come to this stupid game? Why did this team show up the way they showed up? How worried should we be? All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Randy. What's up, Randy?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, Randy.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you fellas. I listen to y'all every day, and I agree with about 98.9% of everything you guys say.
Okay.
On every show.
I'll take it.
On every show. But I'm going to have to disagree with everybody today because I think, you know, the guys, I don't think it's fair or reasonable to expect to be able to sustain, you know, the mentality, not to mention, you know, the physicality of this many games against good opponents and expect them to win every time. I don't think they had it in them. I think at Saturday night got them. I think they're tired.
And okay, Randy, I mean, that's...
And I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you something else, and most people won't agree with this, but I didn't really care that much about the tournament, the SEC tournament, as much as the NCAA, and that may be why I feel this way, but I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, Randy, appreciate the phone call. I mean, when you looked, I mean, I did say that you felt like Auburn got a much better draw, right? Like, Auburn didn't have to go in a 15-round... championship bout with Kentucky. And that was a turnaround of what? You had, what, 22 hours to get ready to play again? I mean, but at the same time, Auburn was playing 4 straight days. They did have the extra game where they were playing. Now, granted, it was against Missouri. And then they got a pretty bad South Carolina team and a finesse Florida team that's not going to try to beat you up. Maybe it is unfair to look at Tennessee and say, hey, you should come out at the in the championship game and be ready to go. Sounds kind of dumb when I say it out loud because it's a championship game. You should be ready to go. Maybe I'm not asking too much by saying, hey, don't get beat up by Auburn with your first SEC championship since 1979 on the line. I'm done with Bruce Pearl. He can go to hell. But you do have to give him credit for having his team coming in with that mentality of we want it more. And it looked that way, in my opinion. And I do think that's a lot of coaching. You saw Bruce doing Bruce things, right? You saw Bruce on the sideline coaching from the very first minute. My friend I was with looked at me and said, Bruce is already up screaming at the refs and everybody, and Barnes is just chilling over there sitting. Fair or not, the teams played that way. One team played like their coach was up there screaming. They played like that. They played like that coach. And the other team kind of played like their coach was sitting down and just kind of letting the game come to them. Fair or not, that's what the optics looked like. And maybe it's, you know, playing the result, but that's what the result has yielded. 3 straight times, by the way, of Barnes versus Bruce. 3 straight times, it's looked like one team's wanted it more. One team's beat you up a little bit. That's not good. Bruce is on the floor pumping up Auburn's crowd early in that game whenever they made a little bit of a run, trying to get them to match the energy that Tennessee had. And that's really when the game started getting away from Tennessee. I don't like him, done with him, but I thought he coached a hell of a game yesterday. 865-546-8200. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, Tennessee comes out of the weekend with no hardware. But I do, like, is it fair to say we should still celebrate the Kentucky game? Like, it's weird, right? Do we still celebrate the Kentucky game? Because we still celebrate that Georgia 2016 football game. Like, people always tweet out the Hail Mary, Jeff. Like, are we still allowed to treat the Kentucky game positively?
I think so. Go in, dominate your rival.
I don't think you dominated.
I mean, like, you gave them a game. It was a fun game.
Well, gave them a game and dominated.
It was a fun game, and, you know, you came out on top, and that's all that matters.
Fun game, came out on top, broke their hearts, left them wondering what the hell just happened, because, let me tell you, they were really feeling themselves when they were up 8 points with 3 minutes left.
Yeah. I mean, I celebrated it. I was right here.
They were big mad. They were big mad.
I'm going to continue to celebrate it. I think it's a historical win, like one of the best. I mean, this is a really good Kentucky team, one of your best historically Tennessee team, and you guys went and duked it out, and like you kind of thought, I mean, the ending of the tournament kind of dulls it, but I don't know. It's just one of those games that I think like it'll just go down as one of those all-time greats and still worth celebrating, just like the Georgia game. ESPN Classic, if you go back to the NCAA games.
Yeah. And I mean, you're 5-2, right? In your last seven against Kentucky?
Yeah.
It can't be very many runs in Tennessee's basketball history where they are 5-2. I'm sure Bernie did it back in the day, but like outside of that, I don't know of very many seven-game stretches where Tennessee would be 5-2 against Kentucky. I don't know how many programs in the country could say that they have had 5-2 stretches against Kentucky in a seven-game stretch. That is a accomplishment.
I mean, some of these guys haven't even lost to Kentucky at home, right?
Yeah. I mean, Admiral is undefeated. Like, anybody who's on the team hasn't lost to Kentucky at home. Yeah, no, everyone's undefeated against Kentucky in Knoxville.
That's something. That's something to hang a hat on.
It is. I feel like we celebrated that one. I think we had to celebrate the fact that no one's lost to Kentucky in Knoxville whenever we play them in Knoxville, though. Like, yesterday wasn't in...
Yesterday's in Nashville.
And you can't say that you're undefeated in the state of Tennessee because they beat you in the SEC championship last year. And that does taint the 5-2 a little bit, like... When everything was on the line, they did beat you. There was a lot on the line Saturday. Although us winning, we still didn't get any of it. We didn't get the one seed. We didn't get the SEC championship. Now, if I am Kentucky, though, like I'm mad about my draw. There was one 7/10 seed that I think everyone who loves basketball looked around and said, you know what, these are the guys you want to avoid. And that was Wofford. And it looks like Kentucky is going to draw them in the second round. And I do feel like the best 3 seed in the field is Houston. And if Houston gets there, they'll get Houston in the Sweet 16 before getting Carolina in the Elite Eight. Like, I feel like Kentucky.
That's a hell of a draw.
I feel like Kentucky got screwed here. And as Tyler Wyatt points out, he says, or you play Seton Hall, who's already beat you at home. Like, if Seton Hall beats Wofford, which I don't think they will, But if they do, like, you're playing against a team who's beat you head-to-head on your home court. And so Kentucky, like, Kentucky came out of this with a double whammy. Like, I know that they don't measure themselves off SEC tournament wins. Like, I get that. They do Final Fours. I understand. But now, like, the losing to Tennessee really kind of hurt them as they head to Jacksonville and then Kansas City. Now, they'll travel. That's what they do. But, you know, if they get by Wofford or Seton Hall, Houston or Iowa State.
Kansas, I mean, not nearly the same team, but still, like, yeah. Auburn's hot.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't Carolina in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Oh, a game Kentucky lost at MSG. I thought that game was at Kentucky for some reason. Guess it was.
They lost. That's
I
all
guess
that
it
matters.
Wasn't on Kentucky's home court. I could have swore it was on Kentucky's home court. My bad.
Yeah.
Neutral site. Well, you're already 0-1 on, I guess, some neutral site.
You lost to Seton Hall. That's all that matters.
You don't want to go 0-2 against Seton Hall on neutral court. Why the hell are they playing that in MSG?
It was probably one of those weird tournament things.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems weird. All right. Thanks for the fact check. Love when people help us, because sometimes I just be making stuff up. Sometimes.
That's how I usually get by.
But Kentucky, like, they came out of that as a loser. Like, the loss to Tennessee probably hurts a lot more when you look around and say, damn it, this draw doesn't feel very good. This draw is tough. And like I said, Carolina feels like they have a cakewalk. Washington or Utah State, I wouldn't be worried about that if I was Carolina. Auburn or Kansas, I mean, assuming, you know, there's not an upset. Auburn or Kansas, like, Kansas has been a shell of themselves since their players went down. Auburn's a team that you just have to hope doesn't
make the threes.
Bomb threes. Like, yeah, like, you'll it's tough in a one-game sample size. If they come out and they're hot, like, yes, they can send you home. But I think if you're Carolina, you look like you have the athletes that can match up with small ball. Tennessee doesn't. That's why Tennessee got pounded by them. If I'm Carolina, I'm looking and I'm already penciling myself into the Elite Eight. Where if I'm Kentucky, I really do feel like they have to sweat from the second round on. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.